Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by ContentSnare. ContentSnare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks or months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. ContentSnare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at ContentSnare.com. Hello and welcome back to episode 10 of Agency Highway. I'm your host, James Rose, and today I've got Grant O'Neill on the line. And I was out with Grant for dinner the other day, just having a chat, and he briefly mentioned that he was gearing his business up to be in a position where he basically doesn't need to work on it anymore, or like, so he could exit if he wanted to, not that he necessarily would. But this was like huge to me because I met Grant, a couple of years ago?
And, yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah. And at the time he was working like, oh my God, like I can't even describe. It just sounded like he was constantly working on the weekends. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty much. Just around the clock, and it was just an ever increasing workload. So it was heading in the wrong direction, basically.
Yeah. So when I heard that Grant was gearing up to exit, I was like, holy hell! Like, what have you done to turn this around in 2 years and to be in a position to like be able to exit, or like, we can't come up with a good word. We still don't have anything overworked to exit was going to be the topic name, but you're not really exiting.
No, I don't plan on that. But it's all about the choice. I think that's what it comes down to, is that you don't want to be sort of stuck having to work it long term if you can avoid it. So if you can earn decent living and have the option to work when you want to, I think that's the dream for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I immediately knew I had to have you on the podcast because, I mean, agencies and freelancers are just, I feel like a broken record because I've said this like every episode that they're an overworked bunch. And like, we are, man. Like, it's just crazy. Like, so we take on more services and do more stuff, and then suddenly we're just flat out nonstop and don't have a life. And that's not the reason we got into business in the first place. It obviously leads to burnout, stress, and worse, you know, like I've seen people out of action for weeks, end up in hospital literally because they've worked themselves too hard.
I think it's being such a digital age, I guess, and the profession we're in, it's easy for work to sort of encroach more and more onto your actual life. So it used to be back in the day, you'd obviously go to work and do that, clock off and have your personal time. But now there's just you can work anywhere and often end up doing that. So that's kind of what happens with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's hard to separate. So yeah, basically I want to dig into your story so other people can sort of listen on if they're in the same position and maybe work out how they're going to turn this around like you have. So, but before we start with the official stuff, the meat, what's the best thing that's happened to you this year?
I actually think it's just letting go. So having run my business for so long, because I started in 2001, so it's been a long road and it's been full-time for about 8 years. So I guess the more and more you do that, you get so invested in your own business. I found it personally, at least, to be hard to hand over that responsibility to someone else. So even having had contractors and staff over the years, just the idea of letting go of that and saying, I can actually just give this task over to someone else and trust that they'll do a good job. I don't need to check it, or at least don't need to, micromanage the process. Mm. So I sort of made a conscious decision earlier this year to just sort of unload everything possible off my plate. And that in itself has actually brought on a bit more work for me initially in making that transition and documenting processes and that sort of stuff. But it was that mental switch of saying, yep, I can let go of this and actually give it to someone else and trust that it will be done right to my own standards and the standards for our business. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of what sort of was a turning point this year.
Yeah, it's like massive mental shift. That's good. So
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Let's go back to I just want to know how you got started, like right at the beginning, what got you into agency life to start with?
Well, I've worked in a few different roles and different sectors. So I sort of started out in IT. So I'm qualified in IT and graphic design. I sort of worked in those fields for about 7 or 8 years or something, and then kind of moved to more of a marketing type role. So I guess I've evolved to pick up a lot of different skills across IT, design, web development, marketing, and so on. And it was sort of a natural progression for me to want to do something that kind of brought all those things together and have a bit more input into how that's done. And the other thing is I'm a bit particular with certain things, and I was sort of sick of following instructions that I knew were wrong from from bosses and managers and so on over the years. And
oh, really? I've never heard that kind of story before, ever.
Yeah, it's pretty common. But yeah, I was just at the end of the road with that. I just couldn't sort of deal with that anymore. And I'd sort of saved a bit to make that transition from working for someone else to working for myself. And it was funny actually, because I'd said to my boss at the time, I'm looking to leave in about sort of 6 to 12 months. And she said, yep, no worries. She was pretty good about it. She said, just let me know when you're sort of looking to do it. And then as soon as I'd made that decision mentally that I was going to leave, I couldn't stand being there. It like exacerbated the issue.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it was like 6 months, and then I went back to her like 2 weeks later and said, oh, it's probably more like 4 months. And in the end, it was only like a month or 5 weeks later or something I left, because I just couldn't stand being there.
Wow.
Like, the things that irritated me really stood out, and I was like, I know this won't be the case when I can make my own decisions. So
yeah.
It was like extra frustrating. So,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So
how did you get to, so like what I don't know actually anything about really is how you got from that position to where I met you, where you were just constantly doing work, right? So how'd you get to that point?
Yeah, well, I suppose having already run the business on the side as a freelance operation since 2001, I already had quite a decent client base. So it wasn't massive, but just enough to have that steady workflow. And what was sort of happening was that, as you do early on, I guess you take on more and more work. And if someone says, can you do this? You're like, yep, I can do that. And maybe even go and Google it and find out how you actually do that before you take the job.
Really? I've never done that either.
So you sort of, you bluff your way through, and you sort of pick up more and more skills. And so eventually what happened was I was kind of evolved from just going, yep, I can design a website or graphic design as well, through to doing all the AdWords stuff and SEO and, EDMs, everything in between. And so eventually I got to a point where I was like, I can't possibly do all these things. And I had contractors initially to help out with bits and pieces. And that's kind of how it all started, I guess, is going from just me to having someone else helping with the business. And,
did you wear that as a badge of honor? I ask just because I know some people do that, where they seem to like it. It's a weird mental thing where you like you feel like you have to be doing all that stuff, and it's like, yeah, I do all this work. Like, it's a badge of honor.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely remember times when someone would say, can you do this? And I'd say, yep, I can do anything on a computer. That's what I would always sort of point out. Like, if it's on a computer, I can do it. Web design, graphic design, all those other things. And you do feel like it's a great thing. Like, you have a mentality of, sure, I can do anything. And it makes you feel like you're pretty skillful and knowledgeable and all those things. But like anything, I guess, if you try to do too many things, you just spread yourself too thin. You can't possibly be a specialist in all those areas and keep up with all those different things. So,
yep, that's huge.
Definitely proud of the time, and that's been another mindset shift over the last couple of years to realize that that's actually not a good thing.
Yeah, of course. So, was there a point where something snaps, like you had this year where you were happy to offload things, but did something snap where you were like, shit, I have to change this now? Like, was there a scare?
I wouldn't say there was a single moment like that. But in saying that, I've got a couple of young daughters, and when the first one was born about 5 years ago, I was sort of, life was relatively simple. Like, I wasn't overwhelmed at the time too much, and I was sort of getting things done. But then being around the kids, because I've got a home office, being around them all that time means I saw all the little milestones along the way. And I just didn't want to miss that. So I didn't want to get to a point where, even though I was just a room away, I wouldn't necessarily see like first steps and all those sorts of things. So, yeah, so I think it was sort of that was a big part of it for me, is that I didn't want to, I guess it was work-life balance at the end of the day, making sure that I was around for my kids and my family, and yeah, not working myself to the bone and maybe even working myself to an early grave.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you laugh, but it's, I honestly think that that is a real thing. So I don't know, there's probably some science behind it too, but like stress is massive, right? It's like, it's no sleep and stress are two of the like most unhealthy things, and that's why I've been trying to put so much work into fixing both of those, but I'm not so good at the stress thing. I'm definitely getting better at sleep.
It's all a process, isn't it? Like, it's not like you just change one day and suddenly there's no stress. It's you have to work towards it in one way or another. So, you know, that's kind of been what I'm trying to do, I guess, is just trying to simplify things. And
how? Let's do that. How are you doing that? How are you fixing, I guess, both stress and the amount of time you're spending on the business, or like especially on all the little stuff?
Yeah, well, it has been a really long process. As I said, I don't think it's like a light switch where you just turn it off or turn it on.
Totally.
Probably the first thing I did was around maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I hadn't actually sat down at any point before then and looked at all aspects of the business. So I kind of just floated along, and as I said, took on more and more jobs and types of work and things like that. And the business kind of just ran itself, but there was no real direction for it and no planning around it. So what I did was I actually set aside a whole weekend. My wife and kids went away that weekend as well, so I wasn't getting distracted by anything else. And I just went through all the financials, like profit margins on products and services, really thought about where I want the business to go in future, looked at things that were reliant on myself personally, and that obviously led into systems and processes too. So I looked at absolutely everything in the business, and then I mapped out some really specific plans to solve problems in all those areas. So improving efficiency and automating things was a big part of it. And obviously getting myself or making the business not reliant on me was another big thing. But to also take it forward, I realized that I wasn't actually making enough profit margin on the work I was doing. So I was flat out, but I wasn't actually generating a great income. So,
well, just quickly on that, because I think a lot of people do that. Like, that's pretty massive, and I've been in that trap before too. Because, like, where you just feel like by doing all this work, and you know, things are going in the right direction, but if you really step away and do the maths exactly like you've done, you can like massively turn your business around. I've read stories where people have identified certain processes, like certain things they were doing, and they literally literally increase their profit of their entire business by not doing those things because they were negative. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, because the 80-20 rule, like the whole you get 80% of revenue from 20% of your activities, but then you can take that a step further and you've got like this negative, I don't know what they call it. It's another one of these silly rules, but like where some of your processes are losing you money. So if you find them, remove them, you make more money.
And I guess tying in with that was going again back to the number of different types of jobs, is that you get pulled in so many different directions that you can't possibly be efficient. So, I mean, that's what we talked about at that dinner you mentioned a couple of years ago, where I actually remember the conversation as well, where you said, like, what do you do on a daily basis? And I think I said, you know, I set up Office 365, I designed a MailChimp newsletter, I designed a website, I set up a hosting account, did a training session with a client. It was like, how many things can I do in one day? And obviously when you're doing that, you can't actually focus on it as well. So you're just inefficient. And the fact that you're sort of wasting time on low profit jobs as well is another big issue there. So,
You know, I haven't told you this before, but I wrote an article a long time ago about trying to take on too many things. And I had you in mind while I wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when I heard...
you're not dedicated to Grant O'Neill at the top.
Yeah. And so when you said you were working towards an exit, I was like, oh, man, this is going to make a story. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
sweet.
Well, it's... Well, I mean, there's lots of things to look at. There was all those things like efficiency and all that stuff. But as I was sort of saying, the big thing was that if it's only yourself, like if it's only you running the business by and large, there's just no way you can actually manage the business at a good level and also get the work done and make a profit and like tick all those boxes at the same time. So one big change I made was... this was crazy, actually. I actually saved $40,000 in 3 months just on expenses, and I didn't even lose any apps I was using. For example, I just changed one app to another, or looked at a process in a different way. So, I remember sitting down with my accountant, and she said, "Are these numbers right? Because you were spending this, and then suddenly it just dropped by $40,000." And I'm like, yeah, I remember I made some changes. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know I did some things.
Yeah.
And and then that saving obviously meant that I could earn the money myself, as in I could take that as a direct increase in my own income. But instead of doing that, I actually gave myself a pay cut and actually hired staff. So I by doing that, it just obviously there's only one person. You can only get so much done in 24 hours, and with two people. You obviously double that potential productivity. So that was a huge part of what I changed.
So did you start creating processes before that point to get them involved? Like how did you, cause I know you said you've done a lot of systemization processes. Like I'd like to sort of hear more about when you started creating them, how you created them.
Well, I've always been, I'm really detail oriented. So for me, it's always been a bit of a no-brainer to have processes and documentation, but even so, I had very little in some areas back then. So what I was finding was that I'd have a contractor do a job, but they'd reach certain like roadblocks in the project and say, okay, what do I do next, or how do I do this thing? And I was continually doing the same training over and over and over again, continually having to answer the same questions and all those sorts of things. So once I had those people on board, it really highlighted all the areas where I wasn't what they were doing wasn't documented sufficiently.
Right.
So that was a big change, and we changed project management systems and all sorts of things.
What are you using now? So
we're using Active Collab now, which is cool. It's got some shortcomings, but it's pretty good for the time being.
Yeah, cool.
We were using Asana previously, but their templating wasn't great and a few other issues, so we sort of moved away from that.
Yeah,
but
that was one of my issues with Asana too.
Yeah, it's pretty poor in that way, but so we sort of switched over to a different system for that. And as an example, like our website development process for a brand new website has about 350 tasks in it. So you cannot go wrong. If you know anything about how websites function, you could literally just follow the steps and build the entire website from that without stuffing anything up.
Oh, that's massive. So yeah, nice.
That's how detailed it is. And every one of those has like very explicit detailed instructions inside the task. So that's the level we're at now, where you could literally just pick it up on the first day of starting working with us and go from there.
So how then do you handle like variances in websites? Because obviously not every website's the same. So how do you have a process that deals with that?
Well, that's always a tricky one, because you've got the thing we struggle with still, that we're still working on and improving all the time, is having a central way to manage the information about a project. So even though we have a project management system and all the tasks, as you said, if something varies, it's difficult to track that. So what we do is at the moment we have forms that clients can fill out. So online questionnaires, for example. And when they fill that out, it emails it to us and it goes into our ticket management system so that all of our team can see it. And then in the project itself, in Active Collab, we then paste in the link to those tickets. Mm. So it's a slightly manual process, but it only takes 20 seconds.
Mm.
So then you can literally just click that link anytime and view all the details about what should be in the project and what shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing there is that once you do that, there's like a main project task where we include all the extra information. So is it an online store? Does it have any custom functionality? Are there custom post types? All those common things are already sort of in there, and you just fill in the blanks basically. So that's the process at the moment, which we are just yesterday, I built a completely different way to manage that, so that we can actually track the entire budget of the project and share that with the client. So if they go over time, they'll see exactly where our time went with time logs.
Cool.
Any extra costs they're expecting at the end of the project and so on. So that's, it's, as I say, it's an evolving process, but just using Google Sheets and Google Docs for storing that, some of that information is helpful. And then, as I said, we've got the project management tool to kind of tie all that together and link to the relevant information.
Yeah, cool. So one thing that isn't, I guess, clear to me about the process, like let's say you were building a homepage. And I don't know if this is going off topic a little bit, but it's like, I can just see this as like a little objection. That people will be like, how do you have a process for something that's different every time? Like a homepage could be like really short or really long. There might be different amounts of content, design. Like how do you put that into a process?
I guess we don't really have to process that in that way. What we do is, we're actually quite different with our design process in the first place. So
okay.
Most designers, or I presume most designers, start with the mock-up stage and you do your wireframes or just do a mock-up in Photoshop, etc., and then get that signed off and then build the site and implement that design. But for us, we just don't do that. We actually build the entire website from the client brief and from a consultation we have with them up front. So we, even though we don't map out the actual design with them face to face, we do get all the key things that they want to include on that homepage if they have any idea at all. And we sort of document that internally, as well as including some of that on the questionnaire. So in other words, what happens is we collect all that information, put into our own system and store that there. And then whoever on our team is working through and building that website, they can just read through that and make sure they're covering the bases. And
nailed it.
If we find at that point we're lacking content to achieve that, then we can obviously go back to the client and say, you know, we need more to fill these gaps. But
yeah,
that
cool.
doesn't happen very often because
that's
sort of
a good process. Like that.
We know that up front. So yeah.
Yeah, sweet as.
So it works pretty well. And for us it's probably quicker anyway, because we can skip that first step. And I know we're still building the site and building a design, but we're very good at getting that right the first time around. So we'll always have little tweaks, but we've never had one where someone's come back and said, no, don't like it, scrap the whole thing and start over. So we've never had a budget blowout in that way. And for the client, it means that instead of just looking at a static image, they can actually interact with the site and leave feedback directly on it. So they can see animations, they can see how the page scrolls, all those
things. What tool do you use for that? Oh, you mean literally just you've built it in your final builder and they just look at it? Like how do they leave feedback?
Yeah, so we use Project Huddle.
Of course you do. Hell yeah, good tool.
Yeah.
We'll drop a link to that below.
Yeah, so clients can basically, when we've built the whole site, we've done absolutely everything at that point. We hand it over to them, which is usually a few weeks in if it's a small project, and then just give them some instructions in an email. And they can just literally click the link, log in, and then just click around the site and leave comments. And then we work through that until it's resolved. And, we just implement them on the live site that they're looking at.
Very good.
Yep.
Sweet. So, I mean, it sounds like then there's obviously no magic bullet to systemizing and process and creating processes. This is just something you've done over a long time. You've documented stuff and then you've given it to someone, worked out where it fell down, if it fell down, and then improved that, you know, like, I mean, it sounds obvious, of course, but you know, a lot of people don't do that. They'll create, I've done this so many times. I've created a process and then sort of never revisited it again. Sounds like this is a big part of what you do.
Yeah, well, I think it's partly my personality is sort of helps me in that way, because it's just natural for me to find something that I don't think is working as well as it could be. And I am a bit of a perfectionist, and I'm, you know, it's something that it's sort of natural to me in a way to say, okay, well, that didn't quite work, or I followed this process and something was missing or it wasn't clear. So, so if something doesn't go to plan, it's easy and simple for me to go, okay, I'm going to go fix that. And the downside can be there, though, that you spend all your time doing that. So that's something I have to sort of battle against in myself in a way to say, okay, this is good enough. I can perfect this forever in a day. That's what you got to sort of struggle against to make sure you're not actually just constantly spending your time tweaking every little thing, which is just a complete waste of time at the end of the day. If a client's never going to notice this, you know, 0.5% improvement in something or it doesn't make any real difference to the end product, then it's just not worth doing. Yeah. So,
but if there is something to spend, like that's justifiable to spend a lot of time on, I think it is process, because that's working on your business. You know, you're turning more of an asset at that point.
That's exactly right, because no one's going to buy a business if there's no repeatable way to continue working. So like if they buy the business and it's all reliant on what's in people's heads and a couple of staff leave off the bat, then they're stuffed. So that's not going to be an attractive proposition to anyone.
Well, yeah, and if someone comes to buy and you are currently working 60 hours a week on the business, that's really unattractive, because then they have to replace you and that 60 hours somehow, right?
Like, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So the more you can say, oh, I'm not doing any work and the business is doing pretty much everything and this is what I do, like that's obviously way more attractive to a buyer. If that's your
Of course. Yeah, of course. So, I mean, that's not where I'm headed necessarily, but at the same time, you don't want to limit yourself. So, if I came to a point where, for whatever reason, I needed to take an extended break or something, having the option to do that is obviously important, but it could be that I'm at a point where, for some reason, I need to sell the business and I don't want to be stuck all of a sudden going, okay, well, I've got to change all of these things at once. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obviously a lot easier to incrementally improve things over time. And every time you find yourself doubling up or repeating a process, write it down the next time you do it. So follow the steps yourself, explicitly spell out how you did that. And then if you store that somewhere that your entire team can access, then it's just something that's going to continually improve and make things more efficient.
Yeah, sweet. So you mentioned there, you know, if you want to go away on a break or something, and I know you did that recently. So was that the first time in a while where you've been able to go away like that?
I've had holidays sort of as normal. I don't probably have as many as most people that work for someone else would have. So some years I might only have 1 or 2 weeks off sort of thing. And I think I've had like one total sick day in the last 8 years, despite having had, you know, gastro and all sorts of other things that knock people out. So I've kind of just had to keep going, but
what happens.
That's no longer an issue. If that happened now, I'd be fine.
So how did this recent trip away go with all your new systems and stuff in place?
Well, because I was on a cruise, I actually had no phone or internet service for most of the week. So I kind of used that as a good test to see what worked and what didn't. And it's the first time I've ever had that in the last 8 years, where I was literally just out of range, out of contact. So I was actually really stressed leading into that, because I was thinking of all these things that I knew, you know, were too reliant on me still. And one big one, funnily enough, was actually that I'm the only person at that point that was sort of managing our books and doing basic bookkeeping. So if a payment came in, I'd mark off the payment and so on. But I was always the one to tell everyone, okay, we've got that deposit, we can start that project. And and I was sort of panicking at the time, going, how am I going to solve this? And most obvious answer in the world was to get a bookkeeper. So So I did that. I kind of knew that was something I needed to sort out with my accountant. So I've put that in place. But the other thing is just a little automation there was that once a payment is marked off as solved, so whether it's me, payment is received, I should say, whether it's me or the bookkeeper, our team actually gets an email to our Zendesk, where we manage our tickets and so on, to say that deposit has been paid and link off to the invoice, link off to the project and all that sort of stuff. So
anyone look, another system
working on it. Yeah, exactly. So it's just like now it's easy because whoever marks it off as paid, it doesn't matter. Everyone will be notified and be able to look at that and go, okay, cool, I can start that project. Mm. So anyway, that was something I actually sorted out before I left, because I knew that was going to be an issue with some urgent jobs that were kind of starting on the Monday and I was away on the weekend. So, yeah, I was sort of uncontactable. But when I got back, I sort of – very first morning, I had our team come in and sit down with me, and we ran through any issues that arose or anything that was reliant on me. And there wasn't anything major, which was pretty good. But there were a few things that definitely were still reliant on me. So I fixed a couple of them that day, actually. Just jumped straight on to getting that out of the way.
Mm, so you jumped on, like, you had a meeting with your team to basically say, look, what fell down while I was away? Yeah, what couldn't you do without me?
Yeah, and there were some, like, obvious things, but I hadn't actually really thought about a solution to that problem before. Mm. So one was we actually had a client call up asking about their email service and getting some support with that. and there's actually nothing we had in place where our team could actually go to the client's profile and go, are they actually, like, are we providing that? So we didn't even know if we were the ones who were actually providing that email service, because there was no central system to just say this client is using Office 365. So that seems ridiculous, but immediately then I thought, okay, that's actually a fairly major problem to sort out. So we've already kind of discussed that a bit further and looked at a few different options, so we can tie things together and have a central place to say, here's the client's profile, here's the services they have in place with us. So if someone calls up with that issue, you just go to their profile and it's all right.
Yeah. And so I think the important thing with this too is just that you've asked for feedback, you know, like it's the same theme, I guess, of everything you've said so far, and that you're always iterating on these processes, finding what's wrong. And in this case, actually talking with your team and getting feedback in which parts aren't working for them. So that's massive.
Yeah. And I think for me, I'm obviously the boss of the business. I hate that term. I think it's, I just don't like it at all. I don't like a hierarchy. At the end of the day, I think we're all part of the same team. We're all trying to do the same things. A success for the business is success for everyone, because obviously I can earn more money if the business is doing well, but the staff can obviously get a pay rise, or those that are the part-time can go full-time, or that sort of thing. So we're all in the same boat. And for that reason, I'd like to think I don't treat myself differently, or, you know, apart from making the top level decisions, everyone on the team can be involved in changing things and improving things. And even when one of our staff members started recently, we realized that we actually had documentation on a lot of processes, but no context as to why they were doing it. So they might start a task and just fill it out and go, okay, I've done that, but what the hell was that for? Like, what's the purpose of doing this? So we actually went back and revised a lot of processes to put a little blurb at the top to say, this is why this task is being done.
That's really cool too.
Yeah, it was a funny little thing that I'd never considered before. So the team member that actually came on board was the one to sort of give me that idea. And then I went back and put a bit of context in there. So it's a constant thing where we're all communicating, working out what we can do better and how we can get the best results for our clients and ourselves.
So just one more thing I want to dig into before I just fire the last couple of random questions at you. is how, like, so someone listening to this and they're like doing all this work or whatever, and they're like, I just don't even have time to create processes. Like, how would you say to start that? Like, how do you balance doing real work? Do you allocate a day or a piece, like an hour a day, or?
Yeah, we have some time chunks we sort of work to, and certain days that have certain types of tasks. So for some of our staff, for example, they do a bit of SEO work, and they'll only do that on a Thursday. And Mondays for us are a lot of internal things. So Monday's the day we update processes, improve our systems. Basically, we sort of mark down every time we have an idea or an improvement and it can't be done within 5 seconds, we'll log it into our project management system and put a date on it and then assign it to someone. And then on that day, whether it's a Monday or a Friday or whatever, we'll obviously go through that task list and tick off what we can. So we basically just try to do that so that we're not booking in work on a Monday when we've got internal stuff to sort out. So I think at the end of the day, however you manage that is up to you, but you've got to prioritize those types of things. It's not all about work, and you have to have the right systems, and you'll probably save money anyway in most cases if you don't have something documented and you forget something. And you stuff up a project, you're potentially taking a hit to your pocket, or having unhappy clients, which means less referrals.
I think that's perfect anyway, though, right? Like that daily thing. I do the daily thing as well. You know, like I've got daily theming. I learned from who was it? Mike Vardy. I'm so like, he's like a good friend, and I'm like, oh my god, total mental blank, stupid podcast and pressure and everything. But yeah, so I put that into my business. But you know, it doesn't have to be a full day. You could just have like Monday mornings or something. It might be enough for and just making sure you don't book anything else during that time, putting it in your calendar so no one can book a time or whatever. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's right, because it's like anything, I guess, in time management, you everyone's really hopeful. Everyone's really optimistic that they'll fit in all these things. And this is something that, you know, I'm still working on improving as well. But at the end of the day, you should be booking in one big task per day at the most. Mm. And if you can fit other things after that, then that's great. Mm. So while Monday is booked for internal stuff, we don't necessarily just spend the entire day doing that. We'll just get off the major things off our plate.
Yeah.
And then if there's other work we can slot in and get jobs done for our clients quicker and obviously get paid faster as well, then that, you know, we can still slot that in. So it's just a matter of booking out that time in the first place.
All right, sweet. I think that's very, very helpful stuff there. So I think we'll wrap up the meat and I'll just go into the last like few questions I like to ask. So what would you go back and tell Mini Grant just starting out in agency life?
Well, obviously the processes was a big thing, but I'd say the other big thing that I really wish I had done is actually just spending money on systems. So I remember using spreadsheets to track invoices, and I remember actually the pain of even creating a single invoice was to go into Adobe InDesign at the time and actually like copy a template and fill in all the stuff. And then it was just ridiculous. So it was completely manual. the amount of time I must have blown just doing those crazy little things like that was insane. And at the end of the day, I could have spent $20 or $30 a month for a basic bookkeeping accounting type package and got that done very efficiently, looked more professional and all those things. So changing that later was also a massive headache to switch from one thing to another. So the earlier you can get something systemized and in place, the better. And I know that when you start out, you're obviously, you know, wanting to earn as much as you can and take on jobs and stuff, but you really have to spend some money to free up your time to allow you to get more money in from extra work. So
I remember that mental switch happened in my mind. You know, like I think we all go through that, right? Like where you start like trying to find the free option for this or the lifetime deal or the cheapest or like whatever. And then I remember at some point I just went, you know, if I spend $30 on something and it saves me an hour or two a month, like especially when you've already got so much work on, like that's worth it to me. Like if you're charging out more than what you're like, if it gives you more time than and you could charge that out, out of more than what you're spending, it's a positive thing, right? And like, I don't even want to know how much we're spending on software and tools and crap at the moment. Like I keep finding stuff that I forgot about that's still in there, but you know, it probably still paid for itself in the time we were using it. So like whatever.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, as long as you keep track of your expenses at some level, and, you know, you have a good bookkeeper who will probably ask you over time, like, what is this for? Then that might jog your memory.
Yeah, exactly. I just go into my software expenses every couple of months and just see what's in there. But anyway, what's your favorite piece of technology right now?
I'd say Zapier.com actually.
yes.
We already use heaps of tools. There's, you know, they all do their job in different ways. Some could be better. Some are pretty good already. But with Zapier, there's just so many things we can automate and for ourselves and our clients. So that's sort of a bit of a bonus that we can also help set things up like that for our clients and make their businesses more efficient. So yeah, Zapier would definitely be number one for me, I think, right now.
Yeah, sweet. That's definitely up there. I use Zapier so much. Like we have literally thousands of tasks automated a month. Like when this podcast goes live, it will, you know, automatically get pushed out to my socials through Buffer. It will it'll go into an RSS feed, so it reminds me to put it in the next newsletter. It'll email me to remind myself to email you that the episode's live. That's all done with Zapier. I love Zapier so much. It's like I actually started a YouTube channel on it. So if anyone's interested, you can go to jimmyrose.me and go to my YouTube channel. And I mean, it's pretty much all I do is different automation stuff. So yeah, check that out. And that leads me into my last question then. Where can people find out more about you?
Well, you can just go to our business website, which is go-creative.com.au. And we keep things pretty simple and use plain English and things like that. So you'll be able to find out how we work and what we do and who our clients are and all those usual things. So head over there and have a look.
And I'm going to drop a bunch of different things you do and your website and social stuff in the show notes. I've got a whole bunch here. You can see Grant's quoting system, website auditing, SEO auditing stuff. You were happy for me to share all that?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we're very transparent. So I'd never yeah, never keep anyone from seeing how we work, and hopefully it helps other people do the same.
Yeah, I think it would. That's very helpful stuff. All right, awesome, man. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, no worries. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's been another episode of Agency Highway. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes, leave a review, or share it with someone you think will get something out of it. I'll see you in the next episode.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.